We have the Netherlands ambassador to South Sudan, Her Excellency Janet Albeda, who will be leaving the country after serving her mission or 2 years, after serving for 2 years in the country, and the mission has come to an end. So join us in the studio right now to tell us her experience about South Sudan, some of the achievements she has done, also some of her memories about South Sudan. And yes, as she leaves the country, Ambassador, you're most welcome, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Thank you very much. And sabah al-khair, and the farhana jit dan an ma'akum al-yom.
Wow, that's good. Good to have you.
Dayman lama inta tkallim lughat al-arabiyya, ana afham.
Yes, well, come to Samuel Fawad. You even speak a better Arabic than mine, I might say that. That's good. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Well, 2 years in the country.
Yes,
two years seems like a very short time to me.
It is, actually, but also serving in a country like South Sudan with so many challenges, 2 years is actually quite a long period. And, you know, that our ministry kind of makes decisions to have various duration for specific postings. And I will now be going to another post where I will serve for 4 years because I think some of the living conditions are better. And I will also not be having an R&R schedule, so meaning that I will stay there not like here, like 6 weeks in the country and then 2 weeks back in the Netherlands. And I must say, if I look back at my experience, you know, in your last weeks, you always write your memoirs for your successor.
Yes.
And then you kind of relive everything that you've been doing. And I remember when I came, it was the 8th of September 2018. Mm-hmm. And that was like 4 days because of the signing
of the peace agreement.
Of the revitalized peace agreement. So it was a joyous occasion. And I remember very well that with all the meetings that I had, that people were very hopeful and eager to really start implementing the peace. And I mean, I must have been, I think, in that sense, in a very lucky period of the history of South Sudan. And luckily, of course, we still have the peace in place with the governors yesterday. Well, not all the governors, but some of the governors being appointed. And so there is some progress on the political reform. But in that sense, I'm also a little bit sad to see to leave the country where there is a lot of violence going on in Jonglei, Equatoria, and other areas, and particularly the area of Jonglei. I'm quite worried when I hear and listen to the stories of people up there. So, yeah, looking back, you know, I think I explained earlier before what our country has been doing, what our focus has been.
Yes, we'll go to all that later as we continue. But now let's just talk about your personal experience yet here. What are some of your memorable moments, those moments that you won't forget about South Sudan?
Okay, I've been talking to some ministers and vice presidents this week, and of course we are kind of, they all ask the same question, but I always tell them, and that really has made a big impact on me, I love being outside of Juba. And so I think I traveled a lot and experienced how people live, listened to their stories, and you know, I think you have a beautiful country. It's with a lot of natural resources. I mean, I've been walking along the site, the Nile. This is something that I started to do with my colleagues. Hey, we're in a peacetime. So that means that we can walk around the Nile. And we've had some very, very interesting and nice walks. And then you just walk through the villages and you talk to the people. These are really things that have impacted me. And I also organized a very nice boat trip on the Nile. One with our own team, and another one was actually organized by UNMIS when we went to see King Shiluk, King of Shiluk. And so we went to Malakal and then up north with UNMIS patrol boats, and that was really just an amazing experience. Of course, sad to see how Malakal looks like these days, and I think there's a lot of challenges. But then, you know, going upstream, more or less, and you see the rich value of the Nile. And yeah, like I said, I mean, I've always been fascinated during my whole career and my professional life with the Nile and the whole wider region, and then going on the Nile in South Sudan.
Experiencing it,
really
oh great.
Amazing,
and you've also visited places like Yambio and places like Bor Town. Any memories about these places?
Oh, many. I was talking with the former mayor of Bor, Dr. Majmajir, this week. We talked about our trip And actually, that was the first time where I stayed in a non-UN compound overnight. So that's also, of course, something that you will never forget. But I went to Bor to look into the things that we have been doing in the past. In the 70s and 80s, we were quite active in setting up water resource management system, pumps, and all these kind of things. And I'm very much a strong believer that the footprint that you build in a country, so things that you've done in the past, make sure you don't forget them. So make sure that you also make use of that available knowledge and expertise. So we've been trying in 2019 to set up a program again to start building a water resource management system, because you know Bor is one of the areas that is affected a lot with flooding. In that sense, you have a strange country. There are areas with no water and then areas with a lot of water. And particularly the flooding these days are really very bad. I also noticed it in Pibor. So we are going to, we are now in the process of setting up a tender to start up a similar program as we did in the past. This will take some time. And people are anxious and they're also irritated with us because, you know, you already made that decision 6 months ago and why you're not here with companies. You know, but these are particular times. So in Bor, it was just amazing to be there. And I talked with a lot of women. And, you know, you have a lot of these strong women groups there selling fish. And it's just, it's good. And the in Yambio, I've been to Yambio many times, also with the United Nations, also with visitors from the Netherlands. And in Yambio, of course, it's one of the cities, areas that one of the first that came up with an 11-point peace plan. And when I heard about that, and we already started thinking of how can we build resilience in stable areas, so it was very easy one for us to kind of mix whatever the Dutch government or the Dutch organizations are doing with that 11-point peace plan of Yambio. And we're still doing that. So I went to Yambio together also with some high officials from the Netherlands Ministry to open a job fair and setting up vocational schools, look into our agricultural scheme. You know, it's of course a very resourceful area, right, with a lot of greens. And, you know, we are very good, the Netherlands, apart from water resource management because of all the flooding systems that we have also in the Netherlands in agricultural scheme. We're one of the number five exporters of agricultural products all around the world. And that means also a lot of knowledge on seeds and agricultural expertise. And that is an area that we bring for a country like South Sudan. And it's important for a country like South Sudan because depending on oil reserves and you know, all the challenges that comes with that, particularly now with a very low price of oil, you need to diversify the company economy. So that's just a clear thing. Now, another thing that I've been really, that's really something which is really part of my, enshrined in my heart, is the work that we've been doing on promoting access to justice for ordinary citizens. You know, the country has a lot of, unfortunately, endemic cases of gender-based violence, and that's actually or has only been increasing again due to the COVID pandemic and ongoing conflicts. But we've been working together with the UN on, or we've been supporting financing to have these mobile courts going out in the country, and also the gender-based violence court that we are hoping to open very soon, but that will not be more under my tenureship, but for my successor to do. And that's also very important symbolic, and not only symbolic, but also an actual court that's already dealing with cases, and that, you know, for gender-based violence, for that problem, that endemic problem here in the country to be abolished. You can inform, you can educate, but it's so important to show people that there's also a stop to impunity, that there's accountability mechanisms in place, and that people can go to court, and that people can get arrested, and that they... So, you know, the Netherlands, The Hague, legal capital of the world. I mean, it's not strange that the things that we focus on here, water, agriculture, livelihoods, and access to justice, I mean, that's, of course, a niche, and I'm very proud of the work that we are doing in that area. I said always in the beginning, you know, when I came here, why don't we work in the health sector? Why don't we work in educational sector? So important. But I was not part of that decision making. I'm very happy that other donors are working in that area, and I'm very actually quite happy also with some of the vocational schools that we are setting up.
Yes, and Ambassador, in all this work that you have been doing here and the Netherlands have been doing in South Sudan, during these 2 years that you've been here, what will you consider as one of your biggest achievements or the biggest achievements of the Netherlands?
Oh, first of all, I'm very proud of a very good team. And I mean, that's really something that you have to work on as well, right? Mm-hmm. You're a manager, you're responsible for your teams. I'm very proud of my colleagues. I'm proud of the work that we've been doing on resilience. I think that we've been one of the front runners, trying to move away from all the humanitarian activities. I can't figure out. I mean, I don't know.
There's quite a lot. Okay.
There's so many things. And I will think about it and send you a tweet on this.
All right. And some of the biggest challenges that possibly your embassy have gone through that had hindered your work here, and something that you think you could have done it in a much way, different way. Can you tell us if there's any?
Well, I was just, when I came here, I was listening to the resident coordinator, also the humanitarian coordinator, Alain Nundehu, about his frustrations and all of our frustrations of the killing of yet another humanitarian worker the day before yesterday. And that's really something that, of course, has also obviously paid a lot of our attention, because apart from the resilience, we also have a lot of humanitarian organizations through the South Sudan Joint Response, and we provide a lot of efforts to the South Sudan Humanitarian Fund. And when these kind of things happened, you know, when I came here in 2018, there were still sporadic cases of, you know, lack of access and killings as well. But 2017 was worse. But then in 2019, we saw that that was diminishing, so we were hopeful. But nevertheless, important to join your efforts. But, you know, with the violence going on and, you know, this killing, that is really something that saddens me. It's also disgusts me, I think some of the words. I think that's really, you know, for a country like South Sudan, you're just 1 week away from your Independence Day, your National Day, and... yeah, that was a joyous occasion, but then it went rapidly downwards. So I think there's a lot of responsibilities here for the political leadership and political parties to really make sure that their citizens get the right life, you know, the life that they deserve. And there's a lot of things that needs to be done currently.
All right. Now, as you leave South Sudan, where next for you? Where are you going? Your next mission? You'd like to share that with us?
Yes, I will be ambassador to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So, Nasa'akuna Safira Jadid li Mamlakat al-Saudiya.
That's good.
Yeah.
And when are we expecting your successor?
Yes. Okay. So, I'm very proud of my successor. He's now in the ministry in The Hague. He is the director for the Stabilization and Humanitarian Department. So, he has actually a lot of experience and skills that are really... fitting very well into South Sudan challenges. Only unfortunate thing that is he is a man, so but we can forgive him for that.
Why is it unfortunate?
Because you know we came here sometimes also in the studio with three female ambassadors.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So then you have one left and so that's you know, I think also talking with Vice President Madame Rebecca the day before yesterday, I mean, also with Minister of Defense, I'm really frustrated with the fact that the 35% is not being upheld. And I think that's not just personally frustrated that it's important to have women there, but you know, people need to understand that there's not going to be a sustainable peace if you don't include 50% of your citizens, right? So it's good that there's one female governor. I was impressed to read her CV, I must say, but having, you know, not more than one, that's not enough. I think it's a sign of weakness.
All right. Yes, and Ambassador, after 2 years of being here in South Sudan, from the first day you arrived at Juba International Airport, and 2 years down the road, you will be going soon, have your perception about the country changed from how you were hearing about it to experiencing it?
Yes, you know, currently I'm a little bit frustrated understandably, because it's a very different world that we are living in right now. With a virus that is that doesn't know any boundaries, everyone, every country is going through challenges. And obviously the situation of COVID in South Sudan, although the numbers are a little officially, but you know, there's limited test capacity, so in that sense we don't know really what's happening. We're all suffering, and obviously that has an influence on the situation in South Sudan. But I'm frustrated with the fact that it seems to hijack progress on political level, on economic level, on social level. Violence is going up again. I mean, so when I came, I was hopeful. I saw progress. And then I was frustrated in 2019, you know, when you had the pre-transitional phase to be extended twice again. But, you know, we always said, as long as the parties come to an agreement, then we can actually live with it. But now there's a unity government, and I'm very happy there's a unity government. We've been waiting for that for very long, also from a bilateral perspective, because the moment that you have a unity government, there's a government you can work with again, and you can do things that you've been wanting to do for quite some time. So now with that stagnation, it's, you know, there's, yeah, so... You know, I tell people as well, I'm a little bit sad to leave in this current situation, because you don't know what's coming next. There's flooding, there is malaria season. Because of the flooding, there will be cholera, there will be a lot of humanitarian needs. Now, the humanitarian workers are being hindered by all the... I mean, there's not so much clarity these days on... state travels and what the requirements are. There's killings again. So, yeah, so, you know, there's an uncertain situation that's ahead of South Sudan. Now, that is for many other countries. I mean, I'm now going to a country where the situation of COVID is actually quite exploding. So that's, but they have test capacity, so they can check. And they also have the facilities and infrastructure to deal with a large amount. And South Sudan is a country that doesn't have that. So, yeah.
So, yes, as you leave, and your successor obviously is coming, and you did mention clearly you're leaving at this particular time where a lot needed to be done in terms of humanitarian, in terms of the implementation of peace agreement. What are the plans for your country in for South Sudan? Like, what are some of the... programs that your country have for South Sudan during this particular period?
Yes, we have reallocated some of the funding to particular COVID-related measures. You know, prevention is crucial, and I hear it all the time on your radio. Important to social distancing, it's important to wear your face mask, it's important. But, you know, I have entered this week ministries, I don't see any face masks walking around, right? So, and I keep telling everyone, you know, be prepared, because it's not just for your own protection, it's for the protection of your...
Of other people.
And so we've been, through the work of UNDP, setting up, you know, employment schemes for young people, setting up vocational schools. We've these vocational schools currently are producing face masks, and that's really essential. And when talking to the Vice President, Madame Rebecca, she's also dealing and liaising with the UNDP on that. So I saw two schools in that John Garang International School where they're producing the face masks. Also there, you know, when the women are sewing the face masks, they're not wearing face masks. I mean, it's. I think it would be so good if the president of South Sudan would actually be much more on national television wearing a face mask and actually tell his citizens...
to wear a face mask.
Yes, be responsible. And, yeah, that's lacking a little bit.
All right.
Well, a little bit. It's lacking.
Okay, Ambassador, just before you go, and of course we wish you all the best, but... what message do you have for the country in terms of the, you know, on how you're living and in terms of what the future should hold for South Sudan?
You know, it's a very young country with a lot of opportunities, with a lot of young people that are really very, very brave and that know what they want. And I'm very inspired by some of these young people, and I just want everyone to keep hope and for the leadership, you know, take your responsibilities and act and be visible, be transparent and make sure that you're accountable and bring that country to life, because it's time.
Right. Ambassador, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios, and we wish you all the best in your next assignment.
Shukran jazeera.
Shukran jazeera. Shukran.